Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is a special edition of Family Matters, and we are so happy to have you all here today. And I want to get right to my guest because this is something that's current. This is something that's hard-hitting. This is something that's going to be happening nationwide tonight. And, of course, it's Divorce Corp, the movie, and what an exciting movie it's going to be. It's got some great press so far, CNN, and our director, Joseph Sorge, is with us today. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for being here. You're out in California. I'm in rainy, cold Illinois, and we're going to talk about the same thing today, divorce and the big business that exists around it. Judge Michelle, my partner, who's usually with me, and I constantly talk about on this show how this is a cottage industry that has been created by lawyers and GALs and custody evaluators and judges, and so we need to talk about that. You've got some incredible credentials, but I believe that this film is really going to be your legacy, and it's going to be the catalyst for change, dialogue, and just a real go-to-Jesus meeting with what's going on in the family courts.
Well, thank you, Jill. I appreciate that, and we hope it is a catalyst for change. We certainly have people talking if you look at our Facebook site.
Well, let's talk about, I want to give people the opportunity that are listening to get to where they need to be tonight. Now, the movie's opening nationwide tonight, correct?
Yes, it is, in 35 cities around the United States.
And if you're listening now, where can they find the locations nearest them, Joe?
Go to our website, Divorce Corp, C-O-R-P, divorcecorp.com, and look on the film page, and it will have all of the theater listings there with links to the actual theaters.
Great. So everybody check that out because I think you're going to want to go there tonight. I've talked to several people who are taking large groups tonight. They're having dinner, going to the movie, and then a discussion afterwards. And I know a lot of the filmings, a lot of the premieres are going to have Q&As afterwards.
Yes. And again, those will be listed on the website. But, yeah, we're trying to have as many Q&As as we can with experts and interested parties answering questions at the end.
And I know you know Wendy Archer, of course, because she is highlighted in your film. And, of course, Wendy is a dear friend, and I just interviewed her briefly the other night on my Wednesday night show, and she is on the film talking about her experiences. And she, of course, runs the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization USA North Texas chapter for our organization. She also serves as an officer in our organization, and we're very, very proud of her and being a part of this project. So thank you for having Wendy.
Oh, absolutely. Wendy's fantastic. And, you know, the film is gender neutral. Our objectives were to keep it gender neutral. And what was very unique and interesting about Wendy's situation is she speaks about parental alienation from a woman's point of view. And
yeah.
So that's, you know, not the typical situation. And so, again, it was so helpful to us to have a woman who had experienced this so that it doesn't come across as, you know, a male-oriented film.
Well, and I got to tell you, and you probably know this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but parental alienation specifically is not a gender issue at all, and I can line up men and women from Maine to California that have had this experience, me included. So I know that you don't speak to that issue specifically in the film, but it certainly is implied there, and it certainly is a result of so many of these long, protracted court battles where children are thrown into the mix and keep the pot stirred, if you will.
Well, the tragedy is that in the system that we have today gives parents a prize for attracting the children over to their side because it influences the amount of child support that's either paid or received. And
sure.
So, you know, not all parents will stoop that low, but some of them do. And when they see that they can receive more money or don't have to pay as much money, for getting more of the children, sometimes they try to induce the children to their side, and for some parents, unfortunately, that means disparaging the other parent.
Absolutely, and a need to get that emotional justice against whatever they perceive to have happened to them in that marriage, and then dragging the children in to wound the other parent and sometimes just totally shatter their heart and break it, not realizing that they're destroying their children in the balance. So.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about you for a moment and just what happened to you, not specifically, but in a very broad sense, and tell me why you decided to go this route with the film.
Well, like 50% of people who have been married before, I did go through this situation myself. Not parental alienation, but I went through a divorce. And, you know, my situation ended up fine. We settled out of court. But before we did settle, I did have the opportunity to sit through family court and watch some other people's cases as I was waiting for mine to be called, because we had various pretrial motions. And so I had many hours in family court, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, just how harshly people were treated by the judge sometimes, the outcomes, the devastating outcomes of losing a child or losing the majority of custody time with the child, bankruptcy, you know, people going in there without any money anymore, and their lawyer had dropped them. The way the lawyers interacted with the judge, it just looked so cozy. Those, you know, glances to the side and the winks and smiles. I could tell there was something to this. And so that inspired me to do some research about the family court system and the family court business. And after hiring a researcher who spent 2 weeks calling people and checking out people that had blog sites, we couldn't believe the stories that we were turning up.
That's interesting. So they just started probably coming out of the woodwork. And don't you think that most people, I know I was this way, and maybe you were too, that most people see the family court system or the justice system as a place where truth and justice are going to prevail. But when you actually enter that system, the veil of truth is sort of lifted from your eyes, and you see exactly the way that the system is very unethical and corrupt, and you are now thrown into it, and it seems as if it's a tornado. You just can't get out no matter what you do, and as long as you're willing to pay, they're going to keep you there.
Jill, you know, I grew up respecting our country and being a patriotic, law-abiding citizen. And when I went into family court, I thought this was going to be like any other respected American institution. And I was shocked. I was just shocked. First of all, you know, there's no jury in family court. There's no right to an attorney if you can't afford one. There's no right to a speedy trial. There's no right to a transcript unless you pay for it. On and on, so many things that we just think of in our minds as normal for a courtroom do not exist in what they call these courts of equity, family court. And the judge is all-powerful to the extent that the judge can take away your children, can take away your money and use it to pay the lawyers. They could bankrupt people. They could put you in jail if they don't like you. They could just simply send you off to jail for what they say is contempt of court based on whatever grounds they deem appropriate, with almost no oversight and very little chance of a meaningful appeal. It's just, you know, like Charles Dickens wrote in Bleak House, these places are frightening throwbacks to the past where one human being has your fate in their hands.
And that's a scary thing. And most of the judges that, well, and I'm going to just reference Illinois because, you know, all the things that we are publicized for badly in Illinois and that we don't do quite right, namely politics, we are getting family law kind of right. I have been working hard sitting on the Illinois Family Law Study Committee. We rewrote the Illinois Marriage and Dissolution Act, which had been in place for 45 years to kind of address what the new nuclear family is and how it affects children. And that legislation is in front of the legislature right now. We just passed the only bill in the United States called the First Right of Refusal Law, meaning when a custodial parent needs care for their child, they have to go to the ex-spouse first before they can go to anybody else. Only one like it in the country. So how important is it, because what you're doing is advocacy, education, and awareness, how important is it for parents to be advocates and to not be afraid to approach legislators? I grew up with one. My father was one. It's not a scary thing. They put their pants on the same way that we do. How important is it to step out, speak up, and let people know what's going wrong with the system and how we can fix it?
Well, Jill, Illinois is very fortunate to have someone like you who's articulate, motivated and willing to get out there and talk to these legislators. I think most people are afraid to talk to legislators. I think the impression they have is they're not even going to have time for these people's causes or issues. But the other thing is a lot of people are fatalistic about this. They say, oh, well, you know, most legislators are lawyers and they're friends with the family court lawyers and with the judges and, you know, they're just never going to do anything for us. You know, if you see what's happened in Florida and New Jersey recently, you know, Governor Scott vetoed an alimony reform bill in Florida and the New Jersey legislature refused to bring up a bill that was all teed up for a vote. And when I look at the replies that people have posted on various Facebook sites about these events, they say, oh, of course, they're owned by the bar. It was a last-minute deal with the, you know, the Legal Bar Association and the legislatures. Right. So people have that impression, so they almost don't even want to try. But unfortunately, it's the only way we're going to get change. And if enough people get out there and say something, as opposed to, you know, a small minority that's, you know, willing to give it a try, but if enough people do it, then the legislators will listen because they listen to voters that vote. And what one of the hopes that we have for this film, Divorce Corp, is that we're going to motivate enough people to say, darn, I can't believe that's what it's like right now, or yes, that's what I went through. I never wanted to talk about it, but that's what I went through, and we need change. And so one of the things we'd like to come out of this is to have some type of a national convention where we can invite thought leaders and people who are forwarding legislation like you are to convene and develop a national platform that we would recommend to the states for reform.
Absolutely. Love that idea. And that's been talked about by many different people and never really has come to fruition. And I think that is an excellent way to do it. You know, I've talked to my next door neighbor, Senator Dick Durbin, second in command in the Senate, and we've talked about it. I've talked about it with Congressman Aaron Schock. And they're all willing to do it. But I think you do need that loud voice to be out there and speak. And people need to realize that you've elected these people and they're there to serve your thoughts and everything that you want done in your district or state. And so it's really important. With the movie, though, how do you attract? Because right now, you're getting people who have had the experience. You're getting people who have gone through parental alienation. I know that a lot of the people that I've talked to who follow my organization, in my organization, who follow me, are going tonight. But how do you attract the mainstream crowd that isn't thinking about what might happen to them if a year from now their spouse decides to divorce them?
Well, Jill, that's probably what's occupied 90% of my thoughts for the last month because – you know, we made the movie, now we have to get people in the theaters to come and see it. And so we've been trying to be as active as possible on social media and on programs like yours. I'm happy to report that we've had 1,100,000 views of our trailer on YouTube.
Great.
In the last month. So people are seeing it. You know, we're putting advertisements out in all of the newspapers for the cities in which the movie will be playing tonight. We're on NPR radio. I've been doing nonstop interviews for the last week, so, and Dr. Drew has been fabulous about tweeting out to his followers about it. So we're trying our best. But, you know, it's very difficult for a documentary. Most people don't want to see a documentary or even go to, you know, a theater to see a documentary. So it's a challenge, but, you know, we're hoping that because of the relevance of this topic, you know, 40 million Americans have gone through divorce. 4 million Americans are going through it right now, and those people know what we're talking about. And if they tell their friends that they've heard about it and this is something really worth seeing, we believe that we'll get enough people out to theaters so that the legislators will take notice.
Take notice, absolutely. And I mean, I could see even screening it in, you know, with legislators sitting there watching in every state house, you know, with a legislative reception afterwards. But I think to get really attract an audience, what about doing something on television and having, you know, a whole night of this and really getting some powerhouse celebrities behind it and making it the movement? And you use that term on your website, but it's got to be a movement, don't you think, Joe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, we've had people that say they will do anything to help us with this. I mean, there are people out there unpaid this last week distributing flyers about the movie. So there are a lot of passionate people out there. But as you say, we have to get the message out to that. You know, I say we've got the prisoner of wars right now, the ex-prisoners of war working on our behalf right now. Now we have to get to the veteran level, and then we have to get to the friends of the veterans. You know, and I'm using those terms loosely by analogy, but as though, you know, family court were war, and these people are, you know, have experienced that war. And some people talk about it as, you know, post-traumatic shock syndrome after they've gone through family court. I mean, it's a devastating experience for some people. They lose nearly everything through the process. So,
in fact, I saw
a quote on the internet the other day where there was an individual who wasn't making child support payments because he said he couldn't make it. And the judge says, that's ridiculous. Look, you're wearing clothing. Your clothing is worth something, right? You could at least contribute something to this. And so his reply was, well, do you want me to take my clothing off here and sell it to one of the people in the courtroom? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, people don't go out without clothing. I'm being,
well, I had a,
you know,
it's interesting. Interesting that you say that, because I had a judge tell me when I had a court-appointed advocate for my youngest daughter and was supposed to split the bill with my ex-husband. It was, at that point, $47,000. I was out of money because I had gotten nothing from a $13 million net worth. And what happened was the judge said, well, you've managed to do other things. Sell your jewelry. Sell yourself. I don't care what you do, but come up with the money. And
did the judge really say sell yourself? Did he
sell
yourself. Really say that?
This judge is still here,
my God.
Still sitting, still doing the same thing, and has not gotten any better, and is one of those judges that, you know, takes the campaign contributions, eats with the lawyers at a local restaurant, and I mean, I see him all the time. Seems to have conveniently forgotten what happened when I was in his courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
But it is shocking. And so give me a couple of quick anecdotes of what we're going to see in the movie tonight. If you can just give me a couple of stories, horror stories, because you had to go out of your way to make this movie shocking to get this interest and to be riveting for people to be shocked enough to understand what was happening. So give me a couple of just little anecdotes if you can.
Okay, sure. Well, first of all, you're going to hear from retired judges who admit on camera that they were very cordial and collegial with the attorneys. And, you know, one judge admits that there was the attorneys took him and several other judges on an all-expenses-paid trip to Spain to hobnob with them. So, you know, there is that kind of collusion. Other judges have admitted that when they retire from their public position, they're hired by law firms to do what's called alternative dispute resolution at $500 an hour. And then on the victim side, I mean, there's some tragedies there. One gentleman was put in jail and prison for 5 years. His crime was that he criticized his judge on the internet. And what he said, the worst thing he said, was that by this judge taking, depriving his two daughters of their father, he was committing something tantamount to child abuse. Mm. And that statement was characterized as intimidation of a judge. He was convicted, and he went off to prison, 5-year sentence. He just came out recently on good behavior after 2.5 years in prison. So, you know, some of the stories are just unbelievable. You don't realize, you just can't imagine we're in the United States of America.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, I wanted to ask you one question that I don't want to ask you, but I want to hear what you have to say. I've had several people contact me. Are you supporting this film? And I absolutely, I am supporting this film. And then I've seen some postings and some articles about people who are in opposition of the film, and they aren't making much sense in their opposition. So, and are thinking of rallying and protesting and boycotting, and those three words never have done much for me in any facet of my life. But for sure, in this arena, you cannot rally, boycott, and protest because people don't listen, take you seriously, or even care about what you're saying. So, mm-hmm. What on earth would the opposition be to this film?
Okay, Joe. Well, that's a good question, and I really don't mind you asking it. And it's complex. To understand the dynamics are complex, so it may take me a second to set it up.
Okay. Take your time.
The opposition is coming from some mothers' rights groups who have been the victims of domestic violence or seen domestic violence toward their children or even sexual molestation toward their children. And they've gone to court to tell the judge that the perpetrator should not be given unsupervised time with the children. The judge has ignored them, and then they've witnessed that, you know, that this abuse continues. Because the judge either didn't believe him or didn't believe it was serious enough. And sometimes a tragic outcome occurs where, you know, an individual warns of domestic violence, and then the judge doesn't do anything about it, and then there's a murder afterwards or a murder-suicide afterwards. So these are real tragedies, and so these people are, you know, feel very passionate about their cause because the consequences are devastating, and we have incredible sympathy for that. We completely understand that. What they're angry with is that we have said in one of our trailer clips that because there is money on the line with respect to how much child support is paid or collected, some people are using domestic violence as a false accusations of domestic violence as a strategy to win more custody time or win control of the house. And, you know, we interviewed attorneys and judges and experts who told us that this is a fairly common strategy. I mean, not everybody does it, but, you know, it's common enough that Judge Lynn Toller from Divorce Court told us that sometimes you just don't know what to do because you're hearing these allegations and you have to assess, is this person being real or are these allegations truthful or are they making it up just to get strategic advantage in the litigation? And so we covered that subject matter, and the reason we covered it, and by the way, in the film, we also covered the whole murder-suicide tragedy side of the story as well. We just didn't have the trailer clip for it. But we covered it because, again, our film is about the cottage industry and the money part of it. And what we feel is that if you take the money out of these child support fights, If you fix child support as the same amount, irrespective of how much time a parent gets with the children, so that they're not motivated to fight over custody time, then you will be taking away a lot of the motivation to make any kind of a false accusation. And then the true accusations will be listened to because the noise from the false accusations will go down. And so we think we're actually helping the anti-domestic violence cause by calling out this problem and suggesting a solution for it. Well, they would rather deny that it ever occurs because they think by denying it somehow it's going to go away, or by slamming down anybody who would suggest that there are any false accusations, that by silencing everybody, then maybe the judges won't be as suspicious anymore because they never hear about it. I think the judges are a lot smarter than that, frankly. And so I really think the anti-domestic violence people are doing themselves a disservice by not calling attention to the problem. So anyway, that's the dispute, and they want to boycott the movie because we're bringing attention to this issue. But I really think at the end of the day we're doing them a service by calling attention to it and suggesting a solution.
That's a good answer. Thank you. I'm glad you said that, and I hope that that very clear and concise answer sways some people in their thinking. And do you see a sequel to the film coming out then that would address different issues within the family court system?
Well, if I survive this process and I don't get thrown in jail by some angry judge, I'd like to make another film. Yeah, I mean, that's actually my ambition. It may not be on the same topic, but I'd like to make another film. But I have seen enough tragedy coming out of the family court process that I do want to spend some time to help with the reform effort. I mean, I'm not a legislator. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an activist. But I've seen enough, and I've learned enough now that I think I can be helpful. To contribute to organize some type of a conference where people who really know this subject matter can get up there, even if they differ in their opinions, to get up there, talk about it, present their proposed solutions, and then have a healthy, productive discussion afterwards.
idea. And, you know, I know Springfield, Illinois isn't the easiest place to get to in the world, and that's where our main home is. But we own a Hilton hotel here, and I'm offering that hotel to you for
oh, wow.
whatever you need to do, okay? So, or you know, or Chicago would be good too, but I can help you out here. And we, as I told you earlier, Judge Michelle and I are willing to help you in any endeavor that you seek to further this reform issue, because this is certainly an answer in the world that I work in parental alienation, you know, legislative reform, judicial education, working toward really opening people's eyes about what's happening. And I just applaud you, Joe, for doing this. And we've got to get people to the theaters to see this and really, really make this dialogue be in the forefront of everyone's minds, because whether you know it or not, divorce affects every single person. It's going mm-hmm. to touch you somehow, some way. You may not be the person that it affects firsthand, but somebody in your family. And I have to tell mm-hmm. you, when I sit and watch my parents unable to have contact with my children because of parental alienation, it breaks my heart.
Awful. That's awful.
The tentacles
yeah.
of the divorce court reach everybody. So mm-hmm. Wendy says, I have to think what Wendy says. I want to say it right. Wendy Archer says, this can happen to anyone, so everyone should care. And that is absolutely right. So,
mm-hmm.
Joe, let us know what we can do for you. And I want you to go over one more time contact information and how people can find out about tonight's premiere.
Okay, so we are at Divorce Corp, C-O-R-P, Divorce Corp, like corporate, the abbreviation for corporation, divorcecorp.com, and then go to our film page, and listings for theater showings will be on the film page. We're starting in 35 cities tonight. Today, actually. The film has probably mm-hmm. already played once.
Yep.
35 cities today, and it's going for a week in most cities, and the theater chains have told us that if it does well, they'll keep us on and they'll expand into other cities. We've had so many people say, oh, please bring it to our city, and we tried to write back and said, we'd love to, but we have to convince the theater chains that we're going to do some real business, because they want to sell,
yeah.
you know, popcorn and
they want to sell
soda,
that $7
so.
Popcorn.
Right. So hopefully it will do well. Hopefully people who are interested in this film will come out and see it, and that will convince the theaters to expand the showing. And if that's the case, then we'll really get we'll make a national footprint for this issue.
Great. Well, thank you again. Very proud of you, and looking forward to seeing the film and being a part of your great new movement. Divorce Corp, the movie, the book, the movement, it's out there. It's coming to a city near you. Run, don't walk, and see this film. This could affect you. You need to help us make a difference. Joe, thanks. Have a great night, great premiere, and I hope to talk to you soon.
You are so welcome, and thank you for the exposure. I really appreciate it.
All right, Joe. See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Jill Ajizi. This was Family Matters. Thanks for tuning in, and you can hear this interview on syndicatednews.net. Our great radio family, we're there to serve you. We thank you all again for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.